If you felt stuck trying to lose weight, you're not alone. Enter Weight Loss by Hers. It's designed to support you in reaching your goals. And Hers now offers access to an affordable range of FDA-approved GLP-1 medications, including the Wegovy pill and the Wegovy pen. With Wegovy at Hers, lose up to 20% or more of your body weight when combined with diet and exercise. It helps you regulate your appetite, eat less, and keep weight off. Plus, Wegovy is the first GLP-1 available in a pill, so there are no needles needed. Everything is 100% online through Hers. You'll connect with a licensed provider who will determine if treatment is right for you. If prescribed, your medication is delivered right to your door, no insurance necessary. And it doesn't stop there. Weight Loss by Hers goes beyond medication by offering access to 24/7 messaging with your care team and tons of in-app lifestyle and nutrition tips like recipes, meal plans, fitness videos, sleep content, and more. Even better, with a range of affordable GLP-1 options, Hers makes it simple to find an approach that fits your needs and your budget, if eligible. You'll get a treatment plan personalized to you and unlimited dosage changes as needed. It's weight loss designed to work with your life. Ready to reach your goals? Visit forhers.com/women to get personalized, affordable care that gets you. That's forhers.com/women. forhers.com/women. Weight loss by Hers is not available in all 50 states. Wegovy is the registered trademark of Novo Nordisk AS. To get started and learn more, including important safety information, Wegovy clinical study information, and restrictions, visit forhers.com.
Welcome back, everybody, on this Thursday. This is Rachel Yucatel, your host, and you're listening to Misunderstood. Today, we have a guest back who I absolutely love. It's the gossip guru, AJ Benza. He is back with all the buzz. Today's guest needs no introduction. He's the guy who knows all the celebs' dirty secrets and loves to spill it. AJ Benza is back with us to break down all the latest and greatest gossip and scandals from today's headline. I just want to tell you that when I do episodes like this, like, I'll remind you that I do not like to cover gossip. That's not really what this show is about. But once in a while, I like to have someone on, like a David Yontef or an AJ Benza. I have David on because he'll talk specifically about pop culture and Bravo stuff. AJ is much different. He has a journalism degree. He has a background in real education in this world of being a real journalist. He knows what that's about. And then not only that, he's lived and experienced life with all these celebrities. He's been a celebrity in his own right, and he's covered every celebrity scandal. He has all the cell phone numbers in his phone for the people that he's talking about. So when he speaks, people should listen because he is a credible source on the information that he spills. If it's buzzworthy, we talk about it today. We get into the Taylor Swift, Travis Kelce romance, blowing up the NFL and social media. AJ gives us the inside scoop on Julia Fox's days as a dominatrix. We talk about Jada and Will's sex parties and who Tupac's real killer is. We also get into Britney Spears' mic drop moments from her book. AJ also opens up about his personal setbacks and how he's made it through to the other side. He talks about the state of gossip and entertainment and if there is a place for Dumois in this brand new journalism. There is so much in this episode. You'll really have to listen. So sit back, get a glass of wine, enjoy yourself, because what you hear is super explosive and super juicy. Enjoy AJ Benza. AJ Benza, thank you for joining me once again on Misunderstood. I'm so happy that you're here.
Well, look, I'd love to see you. Unfortunately, right now, I can't see your face because we have this lag situation going between us. But always a pleasure to show up on your show, Rich.
All right. So we'll see how far we get before we have to redo this. But let's jump right into it, because I have you here today to talk about the top stories that are going on and get your take, because I think you have such a different take on these things than other people. So the first thing that makes sense to start with is the Taylor and Travis love affair, because now it seems like it is a real thing. She has attended his fourth game. She seems to be his good luck charm. He has won every game that she has been at, and he's actually won every game since they became, you know, public. What do you think about this, this coupling here?
Well, by the way, they also won a Super Bowl without her anywhere near the stadium. Okay, so let's relax about how much of a good luck charm she is.
That's a really good point. Relationship,
I don't think this will go past the spring. I think Taylor Swift is one of the best marketers ever. I think she knows how to butter her toast, and to combine with the NFL and use herself and her face, and combining with the great Travis Kelce, nothing can go wrong. But I don't think this will go. Look, here's the thing, and I don't want to speak out of turn. Travis Kelce dated 5 very curvy black women before Taylor Swift. Okay, she's a white girl with no discernible ass. Okay, this is not what he likes, but it's good for the public. It'll go on until May, then it'll be over.
It's very interesting, because it is true that his last 5 girlfriends were curvy African-American women. I did notice that he does seem to have a type up until now. But obviously it's not hurting his wallet. It's not hurting his fame. And I do think, listen, I have an 11-year-old daughter. In the last month, we've watched every Kansas City game. She walks around in her number 87 jersey with, Kelce on the back of it. She has a newfound love of football. She even, instead of playing Roblox, she plays a football game, and she knows all the things you say in football, 4th down, 10th, whatever it is. I don't even know. So I think it's really affected young girls in a way that's very interesting. So I'm all for it. I will say once you're on a pedestal like that, people love you so much. It makes me fear for what happens when that breakup happens. Cause at some point you got to come off that pedestal, right? People love to bring people down.
Yeah. I mean, everybody gets knocked off the pedestal at some point, and it's not even a big fall for Travis or Taylor. They're having a ball. The world or the country is behind it. They think it's great. But listen to me, ask yourself, did Taylor Swift watch football last year when 2 teams with the record of 2-11 played against each other? No, she didn't. She's not a football fan. She's a KC fan because she's with Travis Kelce, and it's a very she linked up with the right guy at the right time. But I don't think it's going to go past spring. I don't think so.
Okay. All right. Well, that's a very,
I got my girlfriend saying, I mean, women right now are acting like Taylor Swift is an athlete. I don't even know what to say. I'm like, what do you mean she's an athlete? Oh, you know what? So is Fred Astaire an athlete? Was Ginger Rogers an athlete? Taylor Swift is just a chick who knows exactly what to do when it comes to marketability. She's perfect at it.
Well, I have noticed that, fans have taken a little bit of a turn as of this morning, considering last night people watched her do this new handshake with Brittany Mahomes. People didn't necessarily love it. They also didn't love that she was in the box with Patrick Mahomes's brother Jackson, who has been charged with 3 counts of aggravated sexual battery. So people, the Swifties, were very worried about that. So I see that people are starting to worry and say some negative things about the whole thing. All right. So
go ahead. No, I'm going to say the people who watch are very behind people like me. We know ahead of time what's going to happen. They're chanting now, but there's a problem with Taylor and Travis. It's not going to work past spring. It's just great marketability. Good for her. Good for him. He's also Mr. Pfizer and Mr. Bud Light. Excuse me. Those are two of the hottest topics in the world. To be Mr. Pfizer and Mr. Bud Light? No. Many men are not happy with his decision to do that.
Okay, very interesting. All right, let's move on to the fact that this month there are four big memoirs that are out. Julia Fox, she's having a great week. She made the bestseller list, and she's been up on stage with Madonna. I think it's interesting that she claims that she wrote this book herself. I feel like everyone is claiming these days that they do not have a ghostwriter. Are you going to be buying Julia's book?
No. Not any of them wrote their own book. Okay. I was with Paris Hilton online at a coffee shop many years ago when somebody tapped her on the shoulder and she had no idea who the person was. And the girl said, Paris, I wrote your book. This is what goes on. They don't know who the fuck is writing their book. They don't know. John Stamos, I love. Good for him, but he's got to put something salacious in there about being abused as a kid. Everybody's going on this angle. Julia Fox is nuts. I know people who work with her at the sex store, the Dungeon in Chelsea, Manhattan, okay? Do you want to hear this, Rachel?
Let's hear the inside scoop.
Okay. All right, Julia Fox was, taking care of men every which way you can for years. And the people who worked with her at the Dungeon didn't like what she was doing because she took clients away from the business. And as a result, I have a picture of her red Louboutin shoes with all their cigarette butts put down in it. The girl I know is named Poison. She's worked there for years. And Julia Fox was, she was sex for hire. And now she's being... people act like Julia Fox is the greatest thing. She's nothing. She was banging guys in a dungeon. Why are we making her a star? She's absolutely nothing.
Well, I will say, I loved her in that movie she was in with Adam Sandler. I thought she was brilliantly cast in there. She looked beautiful. She was, good in that movie. That movie was like a total shocker because it seemed to be cast so oddly for the subject matter. What was it called? Uncut Gems or something.
Uncut Gems. It was a good movie.
And she was like the breakout star there and people hadn't heard of her. I think what makes the book so interesting is that she admits to being a dominatrix. She admits all these sexual things and people are like, oh, wow, you've gone from that to being as famous as dating Kanye West. Now, people forget, I think they were together, she admits, for like a month or less. It wasn't like dating, right? So I think she's got a lot of newfound fame because of that. She wears a lot of interesting clothes that people say is high fashion. It's not my thing, so I don't get it, but people apparently love her.
But here's the point. Look, good for her. She was in a movie. She had a couple of scenes in Uncut Gems. She was fine. I'm not going to call her a breakout star. Adam Sandler was the breakout star of Uncut Gems. No one knew he could be that perfect at drama. Julia Fox was like an also-ran. She has a life. She has a story. She come from the sex dungeon. Now she's very popular among people who read gossip columns. But I don't know. What does it take to be famous now? What is she bringing us? What is the product?
Well, that's a good point. I think... in this day and age, it's very easy to be famous for a number of different things. It's not like when we were younger where you had to have experience and a resume and a reel. And, it was hard to be famous back then. Let's get to Britney's book, which is, every time I turn on TMZ or look at the news, the top story is a new quote unquote bombshell from Britney's book, The Woman in Me. I think the biggest bombshell of this whole book is that she claims she wrote that herself when she's incapable of doing press for the book herself. She did an exclusive with People magazine. They said that it was actually only done on email. The picture on the cover of the book clearly isn't recent. I think it's very odd, don't you?
No. I think everything about Britney is odd. And I've been on top of this story for years. And I said, this is This is going to be a story people talk about 100 years from now. This is Judy Garland times 100. What happened to Britney Spears is awful. But what we found out is, as much as we wanted her out of the conservatorship, we now know she needed to be in it. Mm. I mean, really, her father, her mother, however they might have robbed her, etc. This girl needs to have people around her every day. She has no friends. Have you ever seen the video with her and a girlfriend? Have you ever seen somebody show up at her house and just chill? No. She's a very lonely girl. And listen, what's that said? What they say about the devil's, you know, the idol, when you're not doing anything, it's the worst thing. The devil's going to get you. Britney Spears is in desperate times. Desperate.
Yeah, and it does seem so odd that she wouldn't have friends. I mean, so many people want to be her friend, right? So it seems...
No, I don't agree. Why would you want a friend like Britney Spears? She's fucking nuts. You don't need that. She's crazy.
Well,
you
I mean, I get what you're saying,
out,
but I feel
to
like...
To be a friend? No, what, you want to drop off?
No, I'm saying I think it would make more sense for... I want to go into her house and be like, Britney, with all this money, can't you get a good set of extensions? Can't we get some makeup that isn't running down your face? Why are you twirling all over the place?
Exactly.
Why can't you get a better pair of shoes than the sensible brown shoes? You know, I have those questions for her, and I'd love to be your friend because I'd be like, get out of this scary spinning and the knives, and what are you doing?
Yeah,
and
who
are you dating? Why are you dating
but you know what?
The help?
But I know, Rachel, you're right. She has nobody. You're somebody that doesn't even know her, and you're trying to offer her, you know, advice. She has people that she claims are her friends who never show up, and it's very sad. Yeah, I've seen the extensions that are too long and too old, and the eye makeup that's not changed, and the clothes. Britney Spears is stuck in 2004. That's what she wears. That's how she acts. She has two teenage children, and you never know it. It's horrifying what's happened to her.
Yeah, it really is. It's a shame. It's upsetting. Do you believe a lot of the things that she came out with in this book?
Well, I mean, I believe the abortion story with Justin Timberlake. To me, that's not a big revelation. People have sex and get pregnant. I get it. I've been there myself. I mean, is that the biggest revelation that Justin said, get an abortion? Is that the biggest story? I know how these things go. They excerpt the book for 2 or 3 weeks before it comes out. What's the next big story that Justin said, get an abortion? Is that it? Is that it?
Well,
if that's
I think
it, that's sad.
This episode is brought to you by Kitsch. I love beauty products. So does my daughter. Sometimes I literally have to hide them so she doesn't sneak in and steal them. We're obsessed with anything that is easy to use, has great results, and saves us money. And that's where Kitsch comes in. Kitsch is a game changer in the world of beauty and hair products. Kitsch is a female-founded company that started in 2010, and now they are carried in over 20,000 retail locations. They believe everyone deserves a little indulgence, no matter your budget, your skin type, or your hair type. I change my hair up constantly, which makes it hard to keep healthy, but Kitsch's heatless satin curling rollers help save your hair from heat damage. I know you've probably seen the Kitsch satin pillowcase cap and eye mask line, which are great while you sleep. And also, I don't know if you've seen the Barbie by Kitsch collection. They have those satin pillowcases in the iconic Barbie pink. They're adorable. I actually have two. I love them. Also, another thing that I personally love is the rice water shampoo bars. It actually improves my overall hair growth and fullness. It strengthens it. It smooths out the frizz. It keeps the moisture levels balanced. I was really skeptical about changing up using shampoo and conditioner and using an actual bar. I didn't even know how it would work. But I will tell you that after the first use, my hair looked and felt great. And I've actually had friends of mine who've used the coupon come up to me and say they are never going back and they are constantly going to be getting the shampoo bars because it's changed their hair. Right now, Kitsch is offering you 30% off your entire order at mykitsch.com/understood. That's right. It's 30% off anything and everything at mykitsch. That's K-I-T-S-C-H mykitch.com/understood. One more time, it's mykitch.com/understood for 30% off your order. Enjoy. Yeah. I mean, I think the other ones, you know, she obviously dropped some names. I think the cheating was a little bit, you know, in there to have us say, yeah, oh my gosh, yeah, wow. I think the Colin Farrell fling where she said they had like rough sex for 2 weeks. I thought that was sort of interesting. No,
I know. Listen, I hung out with Colin during that time and he absolutely told me, so did Ben Affleck. They absolutely both told me what they were doing with Britney. They were having a ball with her. Okay. Like every room in the house kind of situation. So here, Britney was having a ball. She was wildly famous. And if Justin Timberlake stepped out, so did she. I mean, they were kids. They weren't even 21 yet.
They're babies. I'm curious if back then, I wish these guys would talk, shed a little light on it and say, back then, yeah, she was, you know, free with her body and we had a lot of great sex, but she was normal and we could have a conversation. I mean, I want to know if she was just crazy.
I think she was just crazy, Rachel. These guys are not going to talk. I mean, men know I'm the guy that talks about shit, but men know don't talk about a celebrity you had sex with. It's not good. You don't look good. Nothing good comes of it. So Ben or Colin or anybody else is never going to say, yeah, we had a great time. We were screwing here and there. They're not going to say it. But Britney is, it's to me, it's the saddest story in celebrity right now. I don't know of a sadder situation than her. I mean, I think that she's gonna die in that house or hurt somebody in that house. I think police need to go there and clean her out of there and put her someplace in a facility. This is so sad. I mean, playing with knives at 3 o'clock in the morning. What are you kidding me? She's gone. She's lost it.
If you felt stuck trying to lose weight, you're not alone. Enter Weight Loss by Hers. It's designed to support you in reaching your goals. And Hers now offers access to an affordable range of FDA-approved GLP-1 medications, including the Wegovy pill and the Wegovy pen. With Wegovy at Hers, lose up to 20% or more of your body weight when combined with diet and exercise. It helps you regulate your appetite, eat less, and keep weight off. Plus, Wegovy is the first GLP-1 available in a pill, so there are no needles needed. Everything is 100% online through Hers. You'll connect with a licensed provider who will determine if treatment is right for you. If prescribed, your medication is delivered right to your door, no insurance necessary. And it doesn't stop there. Weight Loss by Hers goes beyond medication by offering access to 24/7 messaging with your care team and tons of in-app lifestyle and nutrition tips like recipes, meal plans, fitness videos, sleep content, and more. Even better, with a range of affordable GLP-1 options, Hers makes it simple to find an approach that fits your needs and your budget, if eligible. You'll get a treatment plan personalized to you and unlimited dosage changes as needed. It's weight loss designed to work with your life. Ready to reach your goals? Visit forhers.com/women to get personalized, affordable care that gets you. That's forhers.com/women. forhers.com/women. Weight loss by Hers is not available in all 50 states. Wegovy is the registered trademark of Novo Nordisk AS. To get started and learn more, including important safety information, Wegovy clinical study information, and restrictions, visit forhers.com.
Right. Well, I think there's a lot of red flags now, even more so for the fact that the book came out and she can't do any in-person or even over the phone interviews. I think that doesn't make sense. And I thought it was so bizarre to not get a real photo on the cover of her book. I mean, that's like not even heard of.
I know. Listen, you know what? It's funny. Like I said, Britney is stalled in a certain era where her life was the best. That picture that's on the book represents a period in her life when she was the best. It harkens back to what I said to you last time we spoke about certain celebrities and what they'll do and like Jamie Foxx, all right? Jamie Foxx could have held his phone up and said, I'm fine. I'm in a hospital bed, but I'm fine. He never did it. So now we're just supposed to believe this fable that he was sick for 4 months and got better. They don't tell the truth. Britney's not telling the truth. And it's just a sad state of affairs.
It is sad. And I'm very curious how it'll play out because it's clearly not getting any better. So, all right, let's move on to the next book. Jada Pinkett, her biggest revelation. It's called Worthy for people that are interested, that she was separate. She's been separated for 7 years. She continues to humiliate Will Smith, in my opinion, over and over. That doesn't end. And then, you know, she talks a lot about Tupac and her relationship with Tupac and how in love he was with her. You know, so are you going to get this book?
No, if I get that book, I'll make sure to put it on the bottom of my bird cage. No, I'm not going to get that book. Look, I knew Tupac very well. I hung out with him for years. I was in the hospital when he got shot the first time with his mother and Mickey Rourke. Tupac never spoke about Jada Pinkett like this. Jada Pinkett is using a dead man's story to paint her own portrait. What she's done to Will Smith is so embarrassing. And Will Smith needs to just walk away from it and look at this. It's like it's an out-of-body experience. Will Smith, she's destroying you, bro. You are the Black Tom Cruise, and she's just taking you apart. And I'll say something else. She was supposedly separated for 7 years with Will. Okay. Well, then when Chris Rock asked her to go out, she said, no, me and Will, it's a rumor. We're together. That meant she lied about 7 years being, apart. Mm-hmm. And that night when he smacked Chris Rock, it stems from that time because Jada told Will, Chris Rock asked me out, and he couldn't process it. He couldn't take it. It's somewhere deep inside his body. But she's a real nasty girl. And I forgot. I told your producer. I said, in 2000, I'm hanging out with Al B. Shore, the R&B singer, right?
I love him.
And Al B. goes, he's the best. Al B. goes, hey, you want to go see Jada and Will uptown at a hotel? I go, what for? He goes, it's a sex party. I said, what? Is it the sex party? I said, I don't do that, bro. He goes, oh, just get a girlfriend and come uptown. I go, no, I don't. That's not my thing. So he called a friend of mine. My friend went with his girlfriend and gave me blow for blow about Will and Jada and the sex parties they throw.
Time out. Yeah, so now you need to give me. You need to give me the blow by blow about the sex party. I don't even know what that means. Tell me everything.
Okay. Here's the thing. Will and Jada have been swinging for many. And when I was with Albie in 2000 or so, he mentioned, you want to go uptown? They're here and have some fun. And that's just not my scene. I said, no, that's not my thing, buddy. But he called a buddy of mine who went with his girlfriend and gave me the blow-by-blow of, well, I say blow-by-blow, pardon the pun, but really, like, they have fun with other people. They've done it for years. This is a partnership. It's Bill and Hillary. It's Donald and Melania. It's like so many things out there we see. It's love, don't get me wrong, but it's not the love you and I have for our partners. It's a different thing.
Right. It's like companionship or something, a teammate in whatever thing that is really going on in your life. They are facilitating that.
Yeah. I mean, there's no prenup. I mean, they never did a prenup. So if you're Will Smith, do you leave with no prenup? That's a lot of dough, man. Or you just hang out and say, oh, we're the best. She's the best. I love her. I mean, that's a lot of millions of dollars on the table.
Right. Just right. Right. Hang out. All right, so let's go back to Tupac for a second. Recently, they made an arrest on someone who they say is the real killer of Tupac. Do you believe that it is an accurate arrest that was made?
No, it's not accurate. GFED was the shot caller, which means in the vernacular of the street, he was the guy who put the hit out. But here's what you have to know. Reggie Wright was a security guard for Death Row Records. Reggie Wright was also banging Suge Knight's wife. Okay, they were going to take over Death Row. Reggie and Suge's wife were going to take over Death Row. So they wanted Tupac gone and Suge gone. The shooters in the car that night were Danny and Malcolm Patton and also a kid named Lil Half Dead. They are the shooters, not Keefe D. So Suge has made reference to it. I'm telling you now, I've known this for years. I said this on my podcast 6 years ago. The shooters are Danny and Malcolm Patton.
And are these guys still alive?
Yeah. Lil Half Dead, no, but Danny and Malcolm are still alive. But Keefe D was the guy who called the shot. Like, for instance, you know Sammy the Bull Gravano, right?
Yes.
Okay. So Sammy didn't kill 19 people, but he was involved in 19 hits. That meant that sometimes he made the call. This guy's got to go. Here's the crash cars we're going to use. Here's the guns we're going to use. Here's the place we're going to do it in. He wasn't the murderer, but he made the call. That's where Keefe D was that night for Danny and Malcolm and Lil Half Dead.
Do you think that he's going to turn on them now that he's been arrested and point the finger at them?
No, because there's too many people in prison that can really hurt him. They're not on the street. The people that can really hurt him are in prison or in other prisons. So, no, he can't do that. He's going to do his time. And you have to understand, some of these people, they don't mind living that way. They don't mind living that way in a prison, in that kind of climate with killers next to them. It's harder for them to be out of here than it is for them to be in there.
I got
some
you.
People.
Yeah.
Some people.
All right. Well, speaking of someone like that, let's talk about Suge Knight. It was reported that he is now starting a podcast from jail.
Oh, I didn't know that. Really?
Yeah. Wow. Are you going to tune in?
You scooped me. I mean, look, Suge has said some insane stuff. I mean, I was friends with Eazy-E way back in the day. And Suge has said that Eazy-E got hit with an AIDS needle. Remember that story? Suge said that
Yeah. You
want to get somebody, you hit them with an AIDS needle with somebody's tainted blood. And a lot of people who know Eazy-E from NW are like, wait a minute, the guy was coughing in November and died 2 months later of full-blown AIDS. What is that about?
Yeah.
I'd be really curious to see what Suge says on this podcast. I absolutely will listen because this guy knows where everybody's buried. Everybody.
That's interesting. Do we know how long he's in jail for? What was his latest crime that he's in jail for?
He ran over a guy at Tommy's Burgers. And I mean, I know a guy that was involved in that situation named Bones. I know a lot of guys in that part of town from the after hours clubs and shit. And Bones, who's a real, like Denzel Washington imitated Bones in Training Day. That's how real Bones is. Mm-hmm. And he's like, you know, there's no one meaner than Suge. He is the meanest mother effort around. So I don't know how many years he's got, but I don't think he's coming out soon. But right. How do you start a podcast in jail? How do you do that?
I don't know. We'll have to look into that, but it was reported that he will be starting a podcast from jail. So it's funny because people do talk about him as being one of the meanest motherfuckers out there. I will tell you a story. I don't know if I've told you before, but when I ran Tao, when I was the director of operations, my job was to take care of the high rollers and the celebrities. And one night, Suge Knight came in to the club. And usually I handed the celebrities off to one of my assistants or hosts is what they're called. But Suge, I took him upstairs and we got in the elevator and it was quite a small elevator and it was just him and I.
Wow.
And I don't know how this happened, but the elevator got stuck.
No.
And it was kind of like red lights that were in because it was an Asian theme.
Yeah,
you know, restaurant. So it was like a hot red.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So we're in the elevator and it shakes and stops. And I'm like, I look at him. He was to my left and he's like, what's going on? And I'm like, I didn't plan this or anything. Like, relax. Let me figure it out.
Wow.
And I have a lot of male energy in me. Okay. My heart rate does not go up for really anything. So yeah. I was pretty calm. He became a big baby. He yeah. ended up minutes later sliding down the wall, ended up in a fetal position practically on the floor.
Me?
And I remember because I had my IFB in my ear and everybody. Yeah, yeah. So I was dating Jason Strauss at the time, the owner of the club. And right. Jason somehow got on the radio. He took someone's earpiece. And after people were telling me what to do and that the fire department was coming, Jason gets on the earpiece and says, "Do not bring up Tupac. Whatever you do."
He said that?
Being a total wow. idiot who only loved Hall and Oates. And
oh, my
Tupac,
God.
Would, you know, and I would bother the DJ all the time about playing those two, you know, bands or whatever. He was like, "Do not bring it up." And I thought to myself, this would be the greatest time to ask him who killed Tupac. But I did not.
Oh my God. You know, wow, that is the best. I thought it was weird when after I reported on OJ Simpson for many, many months and years and stuff. I was in Miami and he was out of jail. And I was in an elevator at the Mondrian. I press up and suddenly this black hand puts his hand for the door to open and it's OJ. And I'm like, oh my God, it's OJ. I can't believe it. I talked about him on Geraldo, on Inside Edition. I mean, I did everything. And he walks in and he's a big man. And I said, "Look, OJ, I just want to say, man, I did my job." He goes, "I know what you said, man. So we're cool. We're cool." He shook my hand. I said, "I'm getting out of the 10th floor. Where are you going?" He goes, "I'm going to the fucking penthouse, motherfucker." I'm like, oh my God, this is the best moment. OJ's going to the penthouse after he killed two people, and I'm getting out of the 10th floor. But yeah, those are crazy circumstances with Suge. I had those with Tupac. I mean, I was with Tupac when Mickey Rourke wanted to kill himself. I'm home at night, 3 o'clock in the morning, my phone rings. And Tupac says, "Hey, man, get up to Frederick's uptown. Mickey is out of his mind." I fly uptown to Frederick's. Tupac said it's a faggy joint, whatever. That's his words, not mine. And I go out and Mickey's ripping apart a bathroom. I said, "What are you doing?" He says, "Page Six wrote some shit about me. I'm going to kill Richard Johnson, the editor of Page." I said, "Come on, let's get in the car." We're in a car. We're driving down Fifth Avenue. Mickey says, "Stop the car," to his driver. He lays down in the middle of Fifth Avenue. He says, "I want to die tonight." I said, "Mickey, what are you doing? It's 4 o'clock. Mickey, Tupac says, "Fuck it, I want to die too." So I go, "Well, I guess I want to go out with you two guys. That'd be a great obituary." So I lay down. No cars came for 5 minutes. But, you know, that's just a crazy incident with people that are bigger than, you know, they're like Suge is bigger than his personality could ever be. Tupac was bigger. They're just big people, man. And you know, I love that story on the elevator that Suge just collapsed. Like, that's great.
Well, and it was so great because I thought he was the sweetest, nicest, you know, guy, you know, that I had met in a long time. Like,
but
he was gentle.
Girls, baby, you pretty girls don't get it. Why would a man be nasty to you? Of course he's going to be cool to you. He might kill the next three guys, but to you, he's going to be nice. And come on, girls know.
Well,
girls,
and that's kind of hot. That's why people like Rip from Yellowstone, because he's always ready to kill someone for you.
How great is Yellowstone? I love Yellowstone.
So good. So good.
Love it.
So, that's really funny. Maybe I'll try and contact Suge in prison and ask him if he'll do my podcast or he'll have me on his.
Man, that'd be huge. Get him on. That'd be huge.
Yeah, that would be great. All right. So let's, just on the topic of podcasts for a second, let's talk about, are you familiar with Call Her Daddy? Do you listen to that?
I've heard about it. I never listened to it, but I know it was like hugely successful. Yeah, I know.
Yeah. Hugely successful. I was just curious because it has a lot of sort of Gen Z millennial type of people, and it's exploded and it's really become a place that people watch and listen to this gossip. Well, another one that you might know of more than is Dumois. What do you think of the phenomenon of Dumois? They basically wrote a book that's now being made into a TV show, and they started on the internet on social media, and here they are reporters, sort of.
I mean, I know. Well, listen, I'm not going to hate on anybody who gets that kind of fame and takes it to where they're going. Good for them. But I just remember what it was like to be alone in a newsroom maybe there were 15 or 20 gossip columnists in the country. Mm. And we got the stuff we got. We tracked down our sources, and we got stories. And you needed two people to be objective about a story. And that's all gone now. Now yeah. You've got places like Dumois, a page or an entity where anybody can call and say, "I saw so and so at this restaurant. He had his hand on so and so's lap, and I think the marriage is in trouble." And then they'll build on that story, and then 1,500 people will say what they think, and it becomes a story. And is it even a story? I'm not going to hate on them because they found a niche, and I'm glad because gossip is my thing since 1989. So If gossip blows up again, great. I'll stand to, profit. But I don't like the fact that you don't have to be a real newspaper man or a journalist to get stories. That kind of bugs me. Yeah. You need a press pass, man. Can you get past police tape? Can you do that? No, you can't. So,
that's such a good point that you bring up, though, because I feel like, people are really impressed by someone who has a press pass that might be from like Extra TV or Inside Edition, and those aren't even really journalists. Those are reporters.
Shit. That ain't shit.
Yeah, on a news show. And when I was younger, I wanted to go to journalism school. I wanted to learn what made news. I wanted to figure out the ins and outs of how it worked. And no one does that anymore. Anyone and their mother can be a reporter or a journalist because they just create, a TikTok page or whatever. And it is dangerous. But yeah, it's crazy because I feel like someone with an education who really follows the standards and the rules gets kind of pushed aside because that's not the game anymore.
No,
right?
It's not.
So it's like is to do it a different way.
No, I appreciate you saying that because, I went to college. I got my journalism degree. I toughed it out at Newsday on Long Island for 6-7 years. And then I got my shot in New York City at the Daily News. And then I wrote for every paper and magazine you can think of because I proved my ability. I mean, I was in the street. I was with these people. Most of these people now, I don't even know who's behind Dumois. I'm sure I can find their names out, but where?
I think it's still anonymous. I think that's part of the allure is that no one knows, right? But so much is people regurgitating stories and photos and Bravo, shows. And that's how they've become famous in their own right as like journalists. Because they're just regurgitating stuff. They're not breaking stories.
By the way, no, they're not. No one's breaking stories. That's why on my show, on Fame as a Bitch, I break stories. And I use that in on my Patreon page. I don't give it to the free people. I hint to them that I got a big story. But what bothers me is that, it's just not going to change. It's gotten to be a tumbleweed that's, flowing and flowing and rolling downhill. We're not going to change it. People want news. They want entertainment. And they don't really care necessarily if it might be false or so. They just want to consume stuff. And I like to slow down and go, listen, I know that such and such happened yesterday, but I need 2 days to figure this shit out. I need 2 days to call my sources and figure this shit out. Then I'll give you the right shit. I'm not going to bark off the first minute it happens. I'm not. Except when I know that someone's full of shit, like Jesse Smollett or whatever. I mean, there's stories are bullshit. But otherwise, I'm like, give me a couple of days. I'm going to get it for you. Just give me 2 days.
That story with Jesse was so incredibly insane.
Well, did you not? Look, I was on Adam Carolla's show when that broke. And Adam's girl read it. And I said, oh, that's bullshit. He didn't do this. There's no black guy in Illinois at 2 a.m. going to Subway and getting hung by a noose. Get the Adam's like, what do you mean? I go, Adam, it's a lie. That's my intuition of 30 years doing this. I just can tell it's a lie. Jamie Foxx was a lie. Like, I don't know how to tell you how to develop that, but I have it. And, it's up to, anybody can believe what they want to believe in America, what they read. But I see so many things that are such bullshit. Look, if we go, like yesterday, I'm looking at the paper. I can't take it. What's the girl's name from Guys on HBO? I can't stand her. The fat girl. Lena Dunham. Okay, I can't take it.
Yeah.
Lena Dunham. She shows up in some ghastly gown that looked like somebody's curtains for the dining room. And the newspaper is writing about how wonderful and curvy and beautiful. I'm like, there's not a fucking man alive who thinks that's beautiful and curvy. She's a pig. She's a pig. Okay. I'm sorry, Rachel. You walk out with a pair of drapes on you, people will say, oh, that's Rachel. She looks good. Not Lena Dunham. Stop it. I know you can't talk.
I mean, obviously they like her acting skills.
What has she done? Okay, she wrote Guys. Great. Now, next. What do we got next? Now she just complains about what illnesses she has. And that's the new thing. Every chick in Hollywood has an illness. Lyme disease. ADHD. I got this. I got irritable bowel syndrome. Did Rita Hayworth say that shit? Did even Demi Moore say that shit? What are we doing?
No. You're right. It's funny that you're mentioning what you're looking at in the papers. Recently I've been looking at what's permeating the news, right? And it's really for what's going on in the world, it's really basic bullshit. But anyways, let's talk about it.
Yeah, let's do it.
There's a couple stories of this late in life lesbianism going on from Kyle and Mauricio's saga getting divorced.
Yeah.
Do you think that's real that Kyle is now dating this singer, Morgan Wade?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. No, I see the pictures. I look at them together. I see the body language. She's definitely, they're smashing clams. I think we can say that, right? I mean, they're having some fun. Okay. They're pillow biting.
Good for her.
I mean, many years ago when I was a reporter, what's his name? The actor, his wife left him for Melissa Etheridge, Lou Diamond Phillips. And I never heard that.
Oh, I forgot about that.
Yeah, I'm like, I had this story. I'm like, wait, your wife left you for a chick? It was like unprecedented.
Right.
Now it's all the time. I don't think Kyle Richards knows what she really wants in life. I also think that they all know they've got to keep the episodes going and keep the interest going. Because if Kyle Richards doesn't have the Housewives show, what is she? Why would anybody tune into her and listen to her? Nobody would. Same thing with the Kardashians. They need episodes.
Right. It's interesting. Yeah. It's interesting that you say that because Mauricio just started with his own show. So he has his own, you know, he's cannonballing the other way. And which, by the way, wasn't a bad show. And so Kyle could be the end of hers.
No, yeah, Kyle's definitely, there's an eclipse happening with Kyle, for real. It's like, enough is enough. We've seen it many times. All these housewives, they tend to do, look at, what's her name? Blonde, don't be tardy for the party.
Oh, Kim Zolciak?
Yeah, like, these people go to jail. They're bankrupt. Really bad things happen to them because they want to keep up with the Joneses for so long. Mm-hmm. And I know about those paychecks. I've gotten those paychecks from reality TV. It's like, wait, I have to show up here for 6 weeks and I get $110,000? Yeah, let's do it.
Yeah.
And then you realize, like, that's not really earned money. It's just they threw it at me. What do I need to do to stay topical, to stay important, for people to believe me? Kyle Richards and Mauricio, they're all the same people. They don't know what they're doing, but they've got a lot of money being thrown at them, but they're not being their true selves. Mm. They're not. Nobody is. It's reality TV, Nene Leakes, there's so many names I could go down. They're just not being their true selves. And that's, I always say this, is it. People are as sick as their secrets, okay? Those people have really deep secrets that we don't know about, but you see how sick they get. Because they can't take not being in the face of the public every day. We don't want to see them anymore.
And it's very interesting what you're saying because a lot of them don't have a real second job. Mauricio does. He runs a very, financially stable real estate company. So he is someone without the cameras being around. But all these women tend to be floundering until they find a product that maybe they're representing because they've been on the show. What you're saying is so true. Another one I think that has shocked people, I don't know that people really followed, you know, the arc of Sophia Bush, but now she's back in the news because it seems that she just got a divorce, as did Ashlyn Harris, a soccer player who I had never heard of, but Now they're in a relationship and Ashlyn Harris's name is trending. So, I mean, maybe this is a thing to become a late in life lesbian. I haven't tried
Late in life lesbian is a great term. It's a great term. Late in life lesbian. Great. Yeah. L-I-L-L. That's great. No, I don't even know who her girlfriend is. I don't know, Ashlyn, whatever the hell. I saw the picture of them the other day, and I made a decision. Don't write about this. Don't talk about it. Who cares about Sophia Bush and this chick? But yes, everybody, let me ask you a question, to be really honest. Remember when you came on the scene? I mean, it's horrible to begin how it began, because the towers came down and your man was there, and there's a picture of you on the Pulse or the news. You were like bigger than the city that day. I remember it. And everybody said, like, wow, this is the face of suffering. And then you know what happens? They couldn't get enough of you. And you felt it too. I guarantee you, you felt like, I've got to keep going with this. Not to say you went and did what you did with Tiger because you wanted to be famous, but there's something that triggers it. Do you understand what I'm saying? A little bit?
I do. And I've never thought of it that way. But yes, when that picture came out, it was the biggest picture. I mean, it's in the museum. It's in the Smithsonian. People, listen, I will tell you, I got so many calls, letters, emails for years. I mean, people still contact me about it. Someone wrote me a song about, again, if people are listening, don't know what we're talking about. I lost my fiance in September 11th, and he's talking about the photo. It was a very famous photo that ran on the cover of the Post and everywhere else. I mean, it also went, everywhere. It went viral. And the thing is that I do understand what you're saying, that my story, I was the face of my story and the story of 9/11, and it became something bigger. I do know what you mean. And people want to interview you. People want to talk to you. Now I can look back and say, you know, by the way, it pissed off a lot of people because they were like, who are you? You're just a fiance, da, da, da. But no, I will say now that I'm so thankful that that photo was taken, because people know Andy's name. Whether they love me, whatever, they know about him. And that was what was important to me.
No, and you know what else, Rach? I know you're a woman of many resources. You can do what you want to do, blah, blah, blah. But do you think you'd be here right now having a podcast if all that horrible stuff had not happened to you?
No.
I'm just posing a question. I don't know.
No, I agree with you 100%. That's why I'm in the place in my life that I'm public. I'm good at being public with my thoughts, feelings, interviewing people like you. And I even have the relationship with someone like you. I have a name, for better or for worse, that I can literally DM most people that I can think of, and they will respond about coming onto my podcast.
And that's exactly what I'm talking about, because I had that for many years. I still can kind of do that now and then. But yeah, it does something. It triggers something in your body. Like, well, I can reach out to anybody. Mm-hmm. I can talk to anybody right now, and they'll return my call or my text. It's weird. And I think I'm glad Andy's name is out there. I get chills even saying it. It was the worst day in the world. I drove to New York when that happened. Horrible. I can't imagine what you went through. But it got you here, where you can reach a lot of people. And even if you're talking about gossip or whatever you're talking about, it doesn't matter. Rachel Uchitel is here now to tell us, or just to introduce us to anything that she wants to. And it's just sad, but you probably wouldn't have done that if that not happened, right?
Oh, you're right. I would have been a housewife who was following Bravo or whatever. I would have been, but nobody would have known my name, and nobody would have said, let me just hear what she has to say, because she's been through it. I mean, the reason why I have a platform that I have is because I have been through everything. No one has helped me. My parents weren't. My father died. So I didn't have a family that helped me out of anything. I didn't have a husband or a boyfriend that helped me out of anything. I survived a lot of scandal, a lot of things that I did, but also things that fate happened.
They thrust upon you. The same thing applies to me, and not in the same manner with you. I didn't go through, I lost my parents in my 20s, divorce, lost a house. But I maintained my job as a journalist, and when I preach on my podcast, and what people really get into is that, yeah, there'll be gossip. I'll tell you stories. Don't worry about that. But really, I've been through fucking hell.
Yeah.
And I'm still here. And I'll tell you about all that hell. I'll tell you about working at Best Buy with my name on my shirt, with Rocky Balboa on the TVs that I was selling, a movie I was in. I mean, there's so many, driving a cab for 12 hours a day. So people like, they go, wow, he really has been through the fucking mill.
Yeah.
And so if you, no one knew when you had that picture in the post, what was going to happen to you. It was like, all right, it's yesterday's news. This girl lost her man. That's horrible. But look what you did. Look what you built since that day. And that has a lot to say about your man, and a lot to say about fate, and a lot to say about you, that you kept fighting to build something out of it. And that's what I've done. You know, I have embarrassing stories, horrifying, right. But we're all the same. We're all, yeah. We've all had our assholes out, like in public. We've all been like, oh my God, you can't believe it happened to me. Mm-hmm. You know, I think people really like that.
Well, and that's what's so interesting about what you're saying, because there's so many younger people on social media right now talking with such authority about
God.
Something that they've never been through. We have been through it. We have been up on top, hanging with the most famous, being the most famous.
Yeah,
and then also we've been at the bottom, struggling to figure out how you're going to pay for the cab or even get on the subway to go downtown or whatever. Rich. It's like, I have been through both scenarios, and it's more embarrassing because people expect you to be living a certain way.
Yeah.
And that is not how life goes. And you know what? I wouldn't change anything that I've gone through.
Yeah. No, you can't. Listen, back in 2010, I had to move back to Long Island to live with my sister with my two kids, 4 and 2. And I'm sleeping in the fucking bed I slept in as a kid with my 2-year-old son. And I'm working a cab, and I'm going to Best Buy. And I was writing my book at that time, too. So that's what got me out of there. But there were days where I'd go, fucking last month, I was with Jack Nicholson at his house having a ball. And now I kind of want to throw myself into this car that's coming down the highway. Not that I would do that. But
no, I know what you mean.
Those are the extremes of life that a lot of people don't ever have to deal with, but they like hearing it from people like us who go, oh yeah, I've been up here, but I've been way down too, man. Like, you know, Jillian Barbary, she's great, right? Jillian, I was on a radio show for years, KABC, the TV show with Steve and I forget the other girl's name, Dorothy. And they were great. They were like, that you had to watch them every morning in LA. The morning show, KTLA. Jillian gets cancer. I mean, everything changes. Divorce, cancer. It's been 5 years of her just going through the gamut. You remind me of her. Going through the gamut of bullshit, operations, surgeries. And I watched her last night on TikTok when I said, Jillian, I can't believe what you've gone through. I'm so sorry. But she was somebody that every morning you have to tune into. And now,
how is she, by the way?
Oh, she beat the cancer, but, you know, she's gone through so many different surgeries and shit that's wrong, and they got to fix this and fix that. It was breast cancer. She got a breast removed. She got, just horrifying. 4 years of horror, right? Lives in an apartment now. She had a big house in Encino that I used to go to. I mean, life is just fucking hard, man. So the survivors, I would hope that people listen to survivors. Like us, you know, it's easy to have a show when you're famous and everything's fucking cool. But no, come see me when shit was bad, and then we'll talk about some good times.
Right. Well, I had some other questions, but now I feel like they're so stupid.
What?
Compared
say
to what
it,
we're
say
talking
it.
About.
No, say it.
No, but
say
it's
it.
True, because people should be interviewing us about our thoughts about
it. Is that right? Don't you feel that way? I know.
Yeah, totally.
I do too.
All right, a couple more things that people are talking about. The true crime has a new sort of
target. By the way, I don't look good at all. Last show, my throat was bad. Now my face is too fat. I just want to let you know that I know that.
Hold on. Horrible. I want to clarify for people who are listening that AJ is out of his mind. He actually quite handsome.
Oh, babe, no.
No, you do. I don't.
My girlfriend's leaving me this week. She's left me. It's all.
Like
it's all
broke up with you, or she's going on a trip?
No, I wish it was a trip. No. She doesn't like how negative I am. You know, I approach things negatively when I write a story or do a show. I'm always like, who the fuck is that guy? Like, I always have an angle on, you know, I don't just approach things like with big bright eyes. I always go, nah, that guy's full of shit. She's full.
But that's you. So
like,
what?
She don't like that. Nah, it's just, she don't like it.
How long have you been with her?
I left my wife for 3 years. 3 years. And it's not good right now. She don't want me. She's like, you're too negative. I can't take it.
Well, I mean, I'm so sorry to hear that, but I will say that being with you, you sucks. Know who you are. And I feel like she should love you for that. And as she long does. As you're not she negative loves. With her.
She loves me. She loves me. But, you know, I just.
That's difficult. I'm sorry. Yeah. Well, you look
right.
really good. You're not going to have a hard time.
Stop it. All right. Ask your questions. Go ahead. I'll answer anything.
Let's get into True Crime's next target. Ruby Frank. Were you following this story? It was the momfluencer who came to fame as a Mormon mother.
Oh my God.
She had something called 8 passengers. Now she has been arrested for multiple counts of child abuse. One of her kids climbed out a window, went to the neighbor's house and was covered in dirt and hadn't eaten for months or whatever. Really disgusting story. And she had 2.5 million followers on YouTube.
Oh, my God.
Hulu has come out with a documentary about her. She's clearly been, you know, by the court of public opinion, she looks pretty guilty and she seems awful. I mean, do you know anything about this story?
Honestly, I do not. But I know other stories like this, and it really gets me mad that you can be a despicable person and then the networks will pick up on it and give you a show. And then look, these are producers just sitting around waiting for content to come at them. So when a story like that comes by, they go, oh, I could sell this story. I could pitch this story in a minute. And all that way, look, here, I'm sorry. I'm going to get down to what I always say. You need 4 minutes. You need 4 good minutes in life, okay? If you're pitching a story to a network, you got to give them 4 good minutes so they don't turn their face away and they're like hanging on everyone. 4 minutes. Anybody can pitch that story about Ruby Frank for 4 minutes and the network will go, yeah, this is great. We got to make this fucking show. We got to make this movie. We got to make this series. It's 4 minutes, Rich. Okay. That's what what do you call them? The hyenas do out there. They wait for horrible stories.
Yeah.
Like this one, and then they pitch it and make money off of it. I don't really like people like that. I don't like it. I think that you got to think about the kids and the shit she put children through. Why would this woman get a show? And I don't like the way the world is now with entertainment and stuff. I don't think anybody needs to always have a show or a series because they did some bad shit.
That's true. Incidentally, what are you watching? I've had a lot of people on my show right now from Netflix, from Love is Blind. Do you watch shows like that? Or like,
no, I know about that show. I haven't watched it. I watched it once. I didn't dig it. That's the one that everybody's naked.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, look, everybody's naked and no one looks good. So I looked at it one time and I said, I'm done. I can't watch this show. I'd rather, you know, no good. When I was a kid, I used to look in motel rooms with my buddy and we'd see people having sex. That was sexy. Seeing fat people naked? No, I don't want that.
So what are you watching that you like?
I love Yellowstone. You know what? Honestly, I'm going to be frank. I look at my phone a lot. You know, I'm on my phone a lot more than I should be. And that's part of the problem. Like I'm always looking at my phone. What's on YouTube? What's on Instagram? And you forget that there's books out there to read and there's TV shows out there. And you know, you have a great story to tell. You have a book at least or two inside you. Doesn't it suck that people aren't reading books as much as they should?
Yeah, it is interesting. And the books that do come out, they're being, you know, for 2 weeks, like you said beforehand, everybody's giving you the inside scoop, so you don't even need to read it.
And Rachel, all you need to do is have, you know, 100, 200, 300,000 followers, and the publishing house will give you a deal. Whereas a guy like me, who's proved himself for years, but is not really an Instagram guy, I don't try to make it a big following. they'll look at you and go, well, you know, we really don't see how we're going to sell this book. Well, how about
it's so funny that you say that. It's so funny that you say that because I don't care about my Instagram. I post, you know, things to promote my podcast, but I don't put a lot of stuff about me. Very, very little. It gives me agita to have to do that. Right? And the thing is that I have a book that's out for, you know, a proposal is being pitched to publishers. And I just had a call with my agent, who is a very famous agent. And he's like, we're having a little bit of a hard time because you're not talking enough about this, or we don't know how they're going to sell this. I'm like, are you kidding? I'm interviewing people on my show that are hardly interesting. And they're talking about one topic. And here I have 10 topics to cover and I've been through it.
I know.
And you're having a hard time selling this. This seems a little odd to me.
I know. And this is why I have a third book in me. It's fucking written in my head. All my LA stories. I just told you a few. I have hundreds of those. Yeah. And I'm like, well, who's going to buy it? And I got to write a 15-page proposal to some schmuck who's going to try to sell it. My last book.
Who's also 25 and doesn't get anything you're talking about.
Oh, no. Yeah. No, listen. My last editor was from Brown. She went to Brown, right? And we had lunch. She got tanked at lunch. I was like, oh, this is fucking weird. She's getting tanked at lunch. But, you know, she had great credentials. She was Simon & Schuster. And, you know, we parted. I sent her the book proposal. She loved it. A whole year before that, every publisher said no. And this one was away on vacation because her mother died and saw the proposal and said, I love this book. So thank God for her. But I said, I don't think you're going to be around much longer in this publishing company, are you? No, I'm doing Derek Jeter's book and then your book. And then she just split. She left. And I couldn't get my book back. I couldn't get back. It was like I was a hostage. I'm like, give me my book. It finally got published, but people are fucking crazy out there. The young girls, young guys who, I don't know what's in their head. I don't know what. They're just not like we were growing up. They're very different.
Right. Well, it only takes one, right? It only takes one publisher to believe in you. So that's what happened with, I keep reminding myself about Harry Potter. I think they said she was turned down 40 times before somebody chose to give her a chance. So I know not I have only, a bestseller in
not, oh, no, of course you do, Rachel. But not only that, you know, I wrote the screenplay for my book and people are like, when's it going to get made? I go, it takes a long time for people to raise funds. I'm not making a Marvel movie. It's my life. It's a little small movie. Yeah. But, you know, like things take, Forrest Gump took 13 years. A Field of Their Own took 12 years. Like the greatest movies we've ever known, people said, this is horrible. I don't want to look at this shit. And then they end up getting made and they're beautiful. So, of course, you have something in you that's going to be great. But you got to find the right motherfucker who says, yeah, she's great. Right now, there's too many assholes out there.
Right. That's right. All right. So just to wrap this up, is there anything you see on the horizon that we should be looking at or kind of investigating ourselves that stands out to you?
My suicide? Maybe my suicide? Because my girlfriend left me? No. I don't. What's on the horizon in Hollywood? I think that there's a lot of negativity, a lot of bad people at the helm now in Hollywood. I don't think you're going to see the type of movies and shows you want to see. I think what's going to happen late, and I love movies and TV shows and documentaries, but I think right now, if I can pick one topic, they're very negative people who aren't really as smart as they should be at the helm. So you're going to see some movies and TV shows and series that are about inclusivity and all that bullshit we talk about every day that I can't stand, you know, inclusivity and I can't stand gender. That's going to take over us for the next 5 years. And hopefully in 2028, 2029, we'll get out of it and start making good things again with people that are really talented and not just trying to check boxes, gender, inclusivity. It's just diversity. I can't stand it. Can't stand it.
It should be about what's interesting and talent and who's talented as opposed to checking boxes.
And who's talented. And who's talented. Yeah. They're the right person for the job, not the black person or the gay person, the right person.
Yeah.
It's just simple.
And if they happen to be black or gay,
fine.
But if
I don't care. I don't care if you're gay or black. I don't care. Just be right.
Right. Be exactly. Right. I do understand that. Yeah. Okay. So AJ Benza, you are always so much fun to have. We are out of time.
Yeah, this is fine.
We're going to have you back hopefully in 6 weeks or so to talk to us about all the new things that are going on in the world. Cause hopefully there'll be all new things happening, but
there
I wish you
the
best. You better stay safe until then. Don't go nuts about the girlfriend.
I'll call you if things get bad, but I think I'll be okay.
I'm always here. You have to use my number as a get out of jail.
All right, Rich. Thank you, sweetheart. Talk to you later.
Okay, honey.
Thank you so much for listening to Misunderstood. I'm your host, Rachel Yucatel. Please be sure to subscribe to the show and give us a 5-star rating and review. You can support the show by joining our Patreon at patreon.com/misunderstood with Rachel Yucatel. Do you have ideas for the show or want to reach out? Email us at info@misunderstoodpodcast@gmail.com. That's spelled M-I-S-S, understood. Thank you so much, and I'll see you next time.
Allison, are you still there?